Off the Balls League of Ireland podcast. Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
You're on the Off the Ball League of Ireland podcast with Jamie Moore here. Very happy to welcome our second Aaron of the day into studio, Aaron Dobbs of Longford Town. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Jamie. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a million for coming in. So tell me about Longford Town so far this season. Interesting start. I was at your big win over Drogheda in which you scored a fox in the box type header. A couple of draws since then. So how would you reflect on the start of the season for yourself and your new club?
Overall, I think it's been a good start. Obviously, Limerick away, it's a tough game. Going down there, it's not easy. It's a big pitch. Tough conditions that day as well. So maybe a draw that day was a fair result. But overall, I think defensively we've been solid. We can see the one goal in the opening three games. We've started scoring now as well. We scored three against Drogheda, obviously, as you mentioned. And we scored against Cabo as well. Cabo's a tough game as well, obviously. They had a good result against Shells, beating them 3-2 in Tolka. And we knew coming into the game that it was going to be a tough game, especially Cabo, they're a big physical side. Tough conditions to play in, but I think in the end, one all result was a fair result, and both teams were deserving of a point.
Yeah, the first division's been interesting so far. Shells haven't, you know, hit the ground running as people expected. Bray have three wins from three and been really good. And then Longford and Drogheda and the other couple of teams that you might expect to be up towards the top have picked up some points, not others. At Clone have won a couple of games. And last year, I know you played in the league with Wexford, and it was, you know, from the point of view of the club, it was a write-off because the team didn't do so well. How would you look at the first division overall this year, having played a few games in it now, in a team that, you know, hopefully will be challenging at the other end?
Yeah, I mean, the competition this year, it's as strong as ever. We thought it was strong last year, but I think this year it's going to be even tougher. When you look at Bray, they've invested, they've made really good signings. They look like a serious outfit this year. Shells, obviously, as well, as you mentioned, they've pretty much a Premier Division team playing in the first division. So they'll be expecting to go up. But I think we've as good a chance as anyone. And I think it's going to be really tight at the top. And if you look at the division this year, there's no easy games where you can say, oh yeah, that's 3 points. So I think it's going to be really tough this year. And we're hopeful, obviously, that we can go up as always.
Yeah, talk to me about your goal against Drogheda. I mentioned about your ability in the box, and you've been known since you were a kid of just being really bright in and around the box. And you showed that to help your team win Saturday of last week.
Yeah, look, obviously, coming to Longford, you're thinking, I need goals, but played against Limerick and I was frustrated. I felt I probably should have scored, had a chance at the end. And then against Drogheda, played 70-odd minutes and still no goals. So I was getting frustrated. And then when I seen Shane whipping the ball in, I seen the defender at the front post, I was like, just get across him and anything could happen. And thankfully, I got my head to it and obviously got the first goal. And you've seen a celebration. I don't know if you did or not, but I don't know what I done. Jumped up and nearly fell or whatever, but it's just more relief than anything to get that goal. And hopefully it's the first of many this year.
I'm sure I must have been tweeting that you had actually scored at the time when you were celebrating, so I didn't actually see it, but you're going to tell me now, embarrass yourself, go on.
I don't know, when I scored, I just ran over the corner. There's no fans in that corner. I don't know why I ran to that corner, but I ran and I kind of tried to jump and throw my hand up to celebrate, but when I jumped I kind of slipped, so I nearly fell on my arse, but no, I didn't really know what to do, so I need to work on the celebration for the next one, I'm sure.
Yes, indeed. And the next game moved to Stradbroke to play against Cabinteely on Friday night, a 1-1 draw. Sam Verdon back to Longford and scored, and Rob Manley equalised. Now, I said this on Sunday and I'm going to say it again, the pitch is disgraceful there. It's not, in my opinion, the venue that a League of Ireland game should be being played in at the moment with the rugby. What was it like to play on?
Well, I went out before the game and I seen it. Literally, there was tyre marks from tractors on the pitch. Like, there's more mud there than grass. I think it's actually dangerous playing on a surface like that. But, look, it got passed, so we have to play if we're asked to play. And I think that type of surface doesn't really suit us because we're a team that likes to get the ball down and pass it and play a nice football. But, look, I think one all in the end, you probably would have took a look at the conditions and the way the game ended up like, but no, pitch is not great there. And I think it's been like that for a few years now, but still no buzz on it, so.
Yeah, in fairness to Cabinteely, it does get quite good in the period between the summer months, but unfortunately at the end of the year, at the start of the year, it's just not good and it's not ideal for any football, passing or even long ball football at all. And as Aaron said, not ideal for Longford. Your next game is on Saturday. I'm going to be down in D City Calling Stadium again to watch you against Galway. They've started quite well, a couple of good performances, and maybe not the results they've wanted, but there's a buzz around Galway again, and hopefully they'll bring a little crowd too to see your second home game. What's your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, look, Galway are always a good side, good outfit. I don't really know too much about them this year. I think they've made a few signings, but don't know too much about them. But they've picking up good results, like ourselves. So I think it'll be a very interesting game. Two sides that like to play football, so it'll be interesting. It'll be a tight affair.
Now, I've just lost my TV here. If possible, to come in, just pop it on for me so I can actually see what we're doing, because we're going to show Aaron in a moment playing a bit of Ga and stuff like that. Thank you very much, sir. Yes, it must have gone to sleep, but we're are we back?
It's been a while.
Yes, we are. We're coming back. We're fine. We'll rock on and keep going. There we go. We're back. We haven't lost each other for too long. So, yeah, you're against Galway, and I suppose from your point of view, being a young player in the league, it's just about trying to get consistency of games. And then also try and get some goals, obviously.
Exactly, yeah. I think for the last few years, since I went out loan to Wexford, I think injuries have been a big part of my game. So finding that consistency has been tough. I mean, I was with Wexford, I went down, I picked up an injury against UCD, done my ankle. I was out for a good 3 months, I think. And then I came back and I was just, for the rest of the season, picked up little niggly injuries, hamstrings, quads. So it's just consistency of games and trying to stay fit for the season. So that's the main aim for this year, to get a good long run of games and hopefully bang in the goals this year. But so far the injuries have pretty much laid off. I picked up a small injury last week, ironically enough, but it wasn't too serious. So hopefully from now on, for the end of the season, get a good run of games and the goals will start coming in, I'm sure.
Yeah, now one thing I like about doing this podcast and also watching the First Division is, you know, speaking to and hearing about and watching young players who are trying to make a name for themselves in this league. And you're one of those. People might know your name from playing for Shamrock Rovers as a young player and you know, being involved in the early part of what the lads at the club are now doing, to Wexford on loan and now to Longford on a permanent deal. Just talk us through, we can see you there playing for Shamrock Rovers as a younger player too. Talk us through, kind of, you played for their 17s and their 19s, but you were very kind of quickly put into the first team as a young player.
Yeah, so basically I was with Joey's at the time, and we played Shamrock Rovers in schoolboy, obviously, when they had a schoolboy team back a few years ago. And
photo there of you looking very young in a photo shoot.
Bad burn at that.
Go on. So yeah, anyway, you're a young player playing for Joey's and you're against Rovers.
And basically Adam Price came to me. He got a 17 job that time. He's just like, look, would you be interested in signing? There's a few clubs in, I think Bray and the likes were in, and they're like, they want me to sign for the 17 season. It's a short season that time, actually. It was only 2 or 3 months long. But obviously when Shamrock Rovers come calling, you can't really decline it. And spoke with Price, he spoke with Graham Gartland and Shane Robinson and the likes, and it was really a no-brainer to go there. So that season, we'd started pre-season and we didn't really have a captain within the side. So played a few pre-season games. We played Cabo, we beat him 5-0 in a pre-season friendly and I scored a 5. So after that game, Pricey goes to me, look, but I'm just going to give you the captaincy, because I think you're the one name that will be on the team sheet every week. So he's just like, yeah, sound, that's grand. Never really been a captain in your life, but when that comes calling, you can't decline it. So yeah, I was captain that year, and we actually played Murview in the first game of the season, and we got beat 2-1 that day. And then since that game, we went unbeaten for the rest of the season, obviously beating your Pats team and whatever. But no, it was a good season. And then after that 17 season, went up to the 19s the season after. I played, I think, only 5 or 6 games of the 19s, and had a leaving cert that year, which was in June. So Bradshaw was on to me, whatever, to come in and out of the team. But obviously education was my priority at that time, and I just wanted to get the leaving cert done in June. So as soon as the leaving cert was finished, I went in with the boys, and I was lucky enough to play, I think it was 11 games or something towards the second half of the season, and I think I got 3 goals that time, which is not a bad return for a 17-year-old, but it's a good taste for it. It made me hungry. I wanted more of it. Full-time football I was really liking it. And after that season, the season after that, in pre-season, I played a few pre-season games, and at the start of the season, I was in the stands. I wasn't really getting a look in, so I just went to Brad's, and I was just like, look, I need to be playing games, really, at this age, because I've obviously progressed from the underage system. I was playing first-team football, so I got a taste for it. I just wanted to be playing every week, and I said to him about the possibility of a loan. A few options, but Wexford was one of them. And I literally live about 5 minutes from the pitch, so I was just like, might as well go home, enjoy football, see the family. And I did that. I don't know if you could call it a successful spell at Wexford, but I enjoyed it. And obviously now I'm back with Longford, so I'm just looking to get back playing nice football and hopefully challenge and win something this year.
So see, at that time when you're at Rovers and you're scoring goals every week and on certain occasions scoring 4 or 5, and it wasn't the only time in that season that you did that, and you're kind of making a name for yourself and there's talk about you on the club social media channels, and you know the other teams are looking out for you on the team sheet and they can see that you're a really good player and you're in the first team as kind of a 17-year-old. Does that add any extra kind of mental questions and you know things in your own head, or does it make you want to actually? I remember last week speaking to Keelan Dillon, and he said when people were aware of me, maybe want to do even better to kind of prove them right.
Yeah, no, I think when people see you and to see your name on a team sheet and they're having doubts, I take that as a compliment. Like, and I feel I've nothing to prove to them, like, because they've seen what I've done, know what I can do. So I just go and play a normal game and just let the football speak for itself, really. I see it as a bonus when people look at you like that.
Yeah, now Aaron mentioned Wexford there, and we're going to see a little photo of him in action in a sport that's not actually 11-a-side sport, but the 15 against 15. There he is. Tell me about this, because a lot of football players and Gaa players and all the sports as young lads play different sports, but you've played the old Gaelic football at a decent level.
Ah, yeah, being a country boy, you're obviously tied in with the Gaa as well as other sports. But I think Gaa was originally my sport when I was a youngster, and I really started taking up football seriously when I was 14, 15, 16, before I moved to Joey's. But no, Gaa's always been there. Like, played in the off season, I played football, and then in the summer months I'd play the Gaa. Obviously, I can't do that now with the League of Ireland the way it's run, but. Now, being a country boy, you're expected to play Gaa, and I think playing Gaa underage helped me. Maybe more athletic, just kept you fit in the off season, kept you taking over. And that picture there was actually under 18 county championship. It was the quarter final, I'm really sure, against Offaly. Unfortunately, I got beat that day, but I think that was just previous to signing for Rovers, so it's one of my last games playing Gaa.
Where did you play in Gaa? Because you're obviously a number 9 on a football pitch.
I was centre forward.
Okay, so, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, just like scoring, you know. So
this is going to sound like a really stupid question, right? But I don't know if it is. Any similarities between being a centre forward in soccer and a full forward in Gaelic? And were there any bits of both games that you felt you were really good at?
Oh, yeah, I think being a forward in Gaa, you have to have good movement to lose a defender and whatever, and obviously you have to be accurate to take your score. So I think it all ties in together, and I think I benefited from being involved in Gaa as well. And as I mentioned, it made me more athletic, obviously, because Gaa is a really demanding sport in terms of fitness. So I think I benefited from my Gaa days.
Yeah, and I was just saying, we got a photo of yourself and Aaron McInniff, and you're quite a big lad, to be fair to you. So you're playing the Gaa and you sign for Shamrock Rovers, and it's something that's very common among young players, and interested to get your view on it, that once you come a certain age, you do need to specialise in one sport. And was that a decision that you made, that the club made, that you said, well, if I want to be a professional footballer now, I can't risk injury or fatigue or whatever, or the possibility of a clash between games and training between the Gaelic and the soccer?
Yeah, no, actually it was, to be fair, it was my father that made a decision for me.
Okay.
I didn't really have a say in it. He was just like, no, you're going to stick to this, I want you to go all the way in it and whatever. But I was actually more interested in the Gaa, but he just led me on the football course. And he's just like, no, you want to play this, I think you're better at this. I was only 13 or 14 at the time. And when I was playing for Joy's at the time, I used to sneak home. And he used to hide my bag out in the ditch out in the front. And I wake up in the morning before everyone else and sneak out and get the gear bag and go off and play a game match, our GA match at the weekends. So I was always trying to keep it under the radar from the parents, but I think in the end I found out. And my father wasn't too happy when he found out, but look, I enjoy playing Gaa too much really to give it up. But no, it was my father that set me on the football course.
And now, yeah. given you're a couple of years kind of along that path now of football, is Gaa still something that you ever play? Do you ever go out to the park to, you know, kick a ball around, or is it solely now on the football or the soccer?
Not really, no, because I'm not living at home now. Obviously, I'm in college as well, so. But don't really have. I'm not really about my mates. All my mates are Gaa heads as well. So up here, it's purely football. Especially with Longford, we train so much. So there's not really no Gaa anymore. It's just pure football.
So let's move now to Longford Town, who you're currently playing for, and Longford announced in the off-season that you joined the club, and a photo of yourself and Neil Fenn, I'm sure we'll see in a moment, when you were signing your contract. Why Longford, and what sort of influence did Neil, who was also a top striker in his day, particularly around the box, have on your decision to sign there? There you are with Neil in his office when you signed in the off-season.
Yeah, look, I think there was a few clubs onto my agent after in the off-season. And obviously, when Neil came along, it was a big moment for me, because I've heard of Neil and what he's done on the pitch, and obviously I could learn off him as well. So my agent just rang me. He's just like, look, we'll organise a meeting. So I had a meeting with Neil, and he told me what his plans are with me. He'd do one-on-one sessions with me, do finishing, whatever movement, give me tips. And then I remember from previous year playing at Wexford, playing against Longford, to play nice football, like to get the ball down and move it, and they want to play football. So I think it was an all-brainer really in the end, especially when I was living in Dublin at the time and we trained in Leixlip, so it wasn't too far away, as opposed to travelling to Longford for training. So I think it was an all-brainer in the end with Neil and the football that Longford play, so I think it was the right decision in the end.
Yeah, because Neil Fenn, as well as being the Longford manager, owns a coaching company called Path to Pro, and previously to that had a company, I think it was called First for Strikers or something like that, and clearly he knows his way around the goal. Since you've signed, what sort of kind of work has he done with you, maybe either on the pitch or maybe one-to-one in meetings and video work to help you? You spoke earlier on about your movement and your ability in the box, and I'm sure he's trying to add other aspects to your game as well.
Yeah, I think when I say to people about Neil Fender, to tell me about his incredible hold-up play, the way he used to just pin defenders and his touch would stuck to his foot, and once he pinned the defender, it wasn't getting around him, like he was just holding the ball up. So I think my hold-up game is coming a bit better since I signed. Just pinning defenders, midfielders playing off me or whatever. So Neil's been good. He's been giving me tips since the start of the season. I'm sure he'll continue to give me more and I'll improve.
Yeah, now I've told the story before on the podcast, but Neil Fenn also plays futsal, or did play futsal, and the biggest arse I've seen in a football pitch in a long time, and he just gets that arse in and knocks people off, and that's a skill. On a serious note, I'm being a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it is a skill to be able to get your arse and get your body actually into a defender to win free kicks, and as you just said there, kind of link the game.
Yeah, exactly. No, I've seen him on the training pitch. He joins in sometimes actually with sessions as well, and he still play a bit, but I'm sure not as much as in the past, but no, that arse is still learning and he's still sticking out in training, and I think the centre halves and trainers are struggling to get around him still. So
I know lots of League of Ireland clubs do extra work for strikers, extra finishing work, and maybe sometimes have some finishing competitions. Do you guys do that, and does Neil himself ever get involved?
We do a bit after each session. We do a bit of finishing, but I think it's more so me and the centre halves to join in. John Manley loves a bit of finishing himself, but we do the finishing amongst ourselves, but the odd time Neil will take me and do one-on-one sessions to give me little tips. So the finishing is amongst ourselves at the end of each session. So.
And you've also been finishing some goals as well in college. Just talk to us about what college you're in, what course you're doing, and the football there, because we spoke about school and the importance you place in your education for your leaving cert, and that's allowed you to have a scholarship and play football in the evening times and also have a full-time education.
Yeah, well, I'm studying in DIT, or if you want to call it TUD now, I don't know what you want to call it, but I'm in DIT, I'm studying engineering. When I done my leaving cert, I didn't really plan on going to college. I just wanted to play football, like. But in the end, I opened my CO last year, and I was like, I decided to go to college. And how the college football came about, I actually wasn't intending on playing any sport in college. I was just going to study, but the day previous to our first game against DCU, Gavin Fleming, our coach at the time, gave me a buzz. He's just like, "How are you, Aaron? We're stuck for players. Would you mind coming?" So I no bother, I'll give you a hand. So I showed up that day, I'm sure there was 15 or 16 players, I had enough players. Like, so he goes, "I'm just going to stick you up top just for this game, see how you get on." So we won that game 4-0, I scored a hat-trick. And ever since that game, Gavin was just having the phone, he was just like, "Come on, please, I'll get you a scholarship, whatever." I was like, "Ash, might as well." So that came about, and college football is good. I've enjoyed it. It's just go out and express yourself, like, there's no pressure on you, just go out and play your natural football, and you're playing with your mates almost, so it's good. I've enjoyed it.
And there's games across the period of like October, November time when the League of Ireland is non, or most of it's not on, so you keep yourself ticking over there, and then you're in League of Ireland pre-season, plus if you get to knockout stages of college games, you're actually in kind of quarterfinals then. And like even this week and last week, there's been semifinals and there's also some finals to come as well. Is that a balance you have to try and strike from a physical point of view and a fatigue point of view to make, ensure that you're not, you know, you're in the middle of pre-season, you've got Longford friendlies, and also, you know, because of a scholarship, you're required to play for your college, and at times the players can be stuck in the middle?
Yeah, no, I mean, when I met Neil in previous signing and we had that meeting, I just discussed to him, look, I'm in college football at the moment on a scholarship, and I need a scholarship money or whatever for the year. So it was a big part in me signing, and he was just like, nah, don't worry about that. I'll give you the time off that you need for college football because we're only in pre-season. So as long as you're playing games at the college, you don't really need playing with us because you're only playing 90 either way. So he's like, no, as long as you're playing 90, I won't interfere with the college football. So Neil's been good to me in that sense, where he's given me the freedom to go play college football and balance the boat.
And how are the studies themselves in terms of the course? And you said you're doing engineering, is it?
Yeah, I'm doing civil engineering. It's tough. It's 29 hours a week, so it's fairly full on. Like, it's 9 to 6 majority of the days. So Neil, in that sense as well, has given me the benefit of the doubt when I show up to let the train. He's just like, nah, it's grand. I know what the course is you're doing and all. And he knows I'm in till 6 every day. So the club have been good in every way, balancing the both the college and the football. So
finally, folks, this will make our listeners and viewers feel quite old. Aaron is born in 1999, correct?
Correct, yeah.
20?
20, yeah.
So lots of years to go on the legs on a football pitch, and you've had a, you know, really good experience so far, as you mentioned, at Rovers, you know, as a young player at Wexford, as a, you know, in a year that you've struggled, and now, you know, early into your time at Longford plus college too. What does the future hold for you as a 20-year-old young footballer in Ireland?
Not really sure. I haven't really given much thought to it, but just get the degree first anyway, and continue to play League of Ireland and just progress as much as I can, really. And as I said, the degree is probably the most important thing, because, as you know, anything could happen. So as long as I get the degree, and hopefully just put the head down in pure football then from then.
3-year course?
3-year with the option to a further 2 years.
Okay, and are you in first year?
First year, yeah.
Okay, so a little bit to go. And have you found that balance okay between, you would have had school and football, but now, you know, I'm sure the academic requirements in college are more, and you're now, you know, Longford are, in inverted commas, amateur and part-time, but really you're full-time. Like, you're training 3 nights a week, you're in, you've got your games and stuff. It's a fairly hectic schedule.
Yeah, I mean, my course is fairly demanding, as you can imagine. Engineering is a lot of assignments, a lot of projects. So the time, I don't even have time. It's just pure college and football. College from 9 to 6, and then you train from maybe from 7 till about 9:30. So that's pretty much my week, my schedule, fairly full on, so.
And we spoke to Aaron McAneff about, you know, moving to Dublin and having to learn to cook and stuff. How do you, you know, having lived at home with your mum, like, how do you, like, plan your week? Are you cooking? Are you living in digs? Are you living in an apartment? And again, if you're out from, you know, 8:30 in the morning until 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, it's a long day, and to perform at the level you need to from a sporting point of view, you need to eat properly and all that sort of stuff, and try and get enough sleep plus study.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been doing it for a good few years now, because obviously when I signed for Rovers, I was only 17. And I think I was living up there by myself at the time, so I was actually cooking at that age as well for myself. So it's actually something I enjoy doing, cooking. So from past 3 or 4 years, I've been living alone and living in around my mates. So I do a good lot of cooking myself. Obviously, it's hard. You have the so-called college life, where all your mates are going out during the week and all, and you have to stay in, committed to football. But it's something I enjoy. I actually enjoy cooking, so. It's not too bad.
The second professional footballer in a row to tell us they enjoy cooking. I wish I was like you. So Aaron McAneff is a steak speciality. What, if I was asked you to cook your main meal for yourself, what's on the menu?
Just a bit of bolognese, I think. A bit of bolognese, eh? It's handy enough.
Well, Aaron Dobbs, thanks a million for coming in. Really great chatting to you, and best luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks very much, Jamie. Cheers.
Yeah, you're on the Off the Ball League of Ireland podcast. It's episode 6 here. Very finally, some breaking news. Stephen Kenny has announced his first Ireland under-21 squad. Just come into my email here at 2:55 on Wednesday afternoon. 7 current League of Ireland players in it. Some of the head-on news. Gavin Bazunu, goalkeeper, just signed for Man City, who's 16-17, is actually in the squad. From a League of Ireland point of view, Bohemians Daryl Leahy has been named by Stephen Kenny in the squad. Trevor Clark from Shamrock Rovers. Liam Scales of UCD is also in there. Jamie Lennon from St. Patrick's Athletic, defensive midfielder. Danny Mandrew from Bowes, who of course scored that brilliant goal as well. And who are the other two? Let me see. Simon Power, ex-UCD, is also in a Troy Parrott with Spurs is all three. You can see the full squad right now on the sports pages of offtheball.com. And yeah, it's a really interesting squad that Stephen Kenny has named for his first Euro qualifier, which takes place at Tallaght Stadium on the 24th of March at home to Luxembourg. Now, that's just about it for episode 6 of the Off the Ball League of Ireland podcast. We'll finally round up the fixtures for this coming weekend. The Premier Division first, because that is the league that we give our main focus to, and there's games taking place this weekend, all happening on Friday. It's Cork City against Bowes in Turner's Cross at 7:45. At the same time, Derry City host Dundalk. It's UCD against Finn Harps in a really important game at the bottom for both teams, while Waterford down at the RSC host Harry Kenny's St. Pat's. And one game at 8 o'clock, a game I'll be at, which Aaron McInerney will be playing in, we hope. It's Shamrock Rovers against Sligo Rovers at Tallaght Stadium. In terms of the First Division, Aaron Dobbs will be in action for Longford on Saturday. It's a 7:30 kickoff down there in the City Calling Stadium against Galway. Looking forward to taking in that game. The other four games all take place at 7:45 on Friday. It's Bray against Athlone Town. It's Drogheda United hosting Cabinteely. Limerick against Cove Ramblers. And Shelburne host Wexford. Speaking to Kieran Kilduff in Tauga Park on Monday, I fancy him to score a few goals in that one against a Wexford team who really struggled and conceded lots of goals so far this season.
The best League of Ireland podcast in the business. Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store. This is Off the Ball.